This is a prelude to episode 705 of Into Your Head podcast. Hello. I thought I'd add a prelude because I want to make the episode longer. I want to go long today. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking the way things go long is by growing, and they go outwards or upwards or at the other end. They don't grow longer at the beginning. You know, this is, if you're adding stuff at the beginning to make it longer, then all that's going to happen is you're growing longer roots into the ground. It's not going to make the show any longer. We'll see about that. I have a visual interface here. When I record this, I'll put it in at the beginning and I'll get my mouse and I'll drag the rest of the show over to the right, and that'll push it out at the top. You get a kid who has something wrong with his legs and you need to grow them, so you put them in some sort of a metal thing for several months and you stretch out the bone there. You make the legs grow a bit longer in the middle. You don't add an extra bit onto their head or at the ends of their feet. Make their toes grow longer and get them to stand on toes, or make their head longer or add more hair at the top. No, you get them while they're still growing, when they're 8 or 9 years old, and you put in stretchy things that you attach, hideous metal apparatus that wouldn't look out of place in a torture chamber, and you add them to your kid's leg. You guess that's okay. You get a doctor to do it, and they do it in a nice children's hospital in a nice surroundings where there's pictures of Walt Disney's imagined monsters all around him and all sorts of things to keep it all nice and friendly. But no, they're stretching their legs. That's what they're doing. And even I'm not doing that because I'm adding this prelude in at the beginning and I'm just moving the rest over. What I'm doing is growing an extra little bit of body, and then I'm going to sew it onto the bottom of the child, if my podcast is a child, which it isn't. That's all just an analogy, and not everything in an analogy needs to work. That's a bit certainly doesn't work. Certainly no way I can adjust the child's leg lengthening operation analogy to account for or illustrate what I'm doing to this podcast today, of putting an extra little segment in before the beginning. I shouldn't need to analogies or all. So I said fairly simple. I'm adding in an extra segment before what had previously been the beginning. It's not the beginning anymore. This is the beginning. Unless they had something in before this. Wouldn't put it past me. Sounds like something I do. There was a time back when I used to love adding extra little bits in front of everything and extra little bits in front of that. Or maybe I'll put another bit after this. I don't know. Remains to be seen. Have a surprise left in your life, me. Of course, it won't be a surprise to you because you're fucking listening to it now. It'll be a surprise for me how this podcast turns out once I'm finished with it. I'm going to add on bits in the middle and bits at the end and bits all over the place. It's a segment-based show. It's perfectly fine. You may not realise, but this programme is made in segments, just like anything else. Well, not like anything else. Not like that satellite dish over there. Although that satellite dish over there looks like it's had better days. It's all rusty. I think it's bent out of shape. Hard to tell with the Sky TV satellite dishes. They're made in an odd shape anyway. But no, until you start to notice when one falls on your head and it hits you on the head and then you fall to the ground and you think, Christ, I thought this television signal thing had gotten a lot safer since we stopped having big aerials on our roofs that you have to climb up and adjust for every time you want to change the channel. But no, satellite dish. It's not as innocent as you think. It can fall on your head quite easily with very little warning. They don't have some sort of, at least with a big lorry, if a lorry is going about to reverse onto you, at least you get the beep 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 beep, beep, beep. But no, you have a thing in your house sticking out from the back wall of your house over the area where your kids play, and you're walking around all day innocently, not expecting to have to look for traffic or anything, and this satellite dish can just suddenly fall down on your head without so much as a reverse beeping sound. It doesn't even have lights on it. I suppose you could, if you want to be one of these people who adopts everything, you could do that. But this is a world where everything is manufactured for us and it's supposed to come ready. We're not supposed to have to, we don't milk our own cows anymore. We expect the milk to turn up and for it to have been properly pasteurized and packed and have the correct ingredients in it. We shouldn't have to worry about these things. If I get a satellite dish, I shouldn't have to fucking do some add lights and crap to it. As it happens, I don't. Well, I don't have kids running around in my back garden. Maybe it's different for me. But I feel for all you people who have kids. It's a much more difficult world to bring them up in nowadays with all this crap. Get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. Oh, topics. We've got lots and lots of topics. We're positively booming to the seams with topics, although you wouldn't think we are from the amount of time it's got to get going. I had to do the middle first just to get started. I did a cat story in the middle. I thought, forget about the beginning and start in the middle. Sometimes you have to approach things from a different angle. That's what the airline industry don't realise. They say, no, you have to approach from the north. Everybody's to approach from the north and land facing that way. It's very important. Well, occasionally you might try doing it the other way. Have a few little side runways. Just make sure there's no one crashing. I suppose that's the whole point. You have everyone landing the same direction so they don't crash into each other. Well, that's only going to be effective if the second one isn't going faster than the other and crashes into the... You can crash into the back of something that's going the same direction just as easily as you can crash into something that's going the opposite direction, you know. It's just as easy. I've had it done to our car. I can tell you, it's very easy. Oh, no, that was something anyway. It was done to something, and someone crashed into our car at one point, if I remember rightly. Don't worry. It was all fine. Not for the people who caused it. It wasn't too fine for them, I can tell you. It was fine for me. Where are we going with this? I don't know. Where are we going with this? Is this another failed opening? It probably is, but I'm not going to delete it this time, for fuck's sake. We've devolved into music. Devolved into the lowest form of communication known to man, music. We've been equipped with our own vocal cords where we can talk in all sorts of different languages or all of the same languages. But we decide we're going to blow into a bit of metal. Apparently, if you can do this well, you're considered above the rest of us who use our vocal cords to communicate. Say, I want to communicate something artistically. I can't be doing this speaking or writing like those low-life scum do. I'm going to use a musical instrument, a thing that's been chopped out of a bit of wood or melted from some bit of metal under the... This harmonica is labelled House of Marbles, England. That's where... If you ever lose your marbles, that's where you go. You find them there, but by the time you get there, they've turned them into a harmonica. You have to buy them. Admittedly, they're not all that expensive. Although, I don't know, this was a gift from my wife, so I assume it was very, very expensive. Otherwise, I'm going to have questions. Although, it's probably too late to ask them now, because this gift was from a few years ago. Can you go, is there a limit on the number of years after where you can go inquiring about the quality of a gift? Probably not. And admittedly, I've got lots of use out of it since. Still can't play the harmonica properly, though. A whole musical world looks down on me to say, oh, that fella, he can talk for half an hour. Less than a couple of times a week at the moment, admittedly, but it's the summer. There's other things to do during the summer. We only get summer every 3 years, so don't panic if the show is less frequent than usual at the moment. It'll all sort itself out in September. I was trying to start the show. Trying to start the show. How do I know when it started? I suppose the fact that we're 4.5 minutes in is a clue. I think it has started. Is this started? When do I finish? It's like, no, when do I have to stop accelerating? I've started the show. I'm continuing to start it now. At some point, they're going to have to stop starting and get into cruising altitude. How will I know? I don't know. Maybe it's the point when I say, anyway, hello and welcome to the show. That'll be it. I just said that. But I was just saying it in reference to itself. So I'll say it officially now. Hello and welcome to the show. Two cats walk into a supermarket. One of the cats goes straight up to the customer service desk and says, hello, can I have a pint of your finest Guinness, please? And the woman behind the customer service desk says, we don't sell pints of Guinness, but if you go up to the beer section there, you'll find we have draft-style Guinness in a can. That might help. It's very nice. In fact, I think it's just as nice as the stuff in the pub. Although admittedly I'm a woman, I know you're used to having these sort of opinions from men, but women are allowed to have views on this too. And the cat says, I didn't for one moment think about what sex you are, for Christ's sake, give me a break, I'm just a cat in a supermarket inquiring about Guinness. Anyway, where do you say this beer section is? And the woman says, it's over there, behind that big barricade with a sign on it saying, sorry, we can't sell beer until after 10:30. And the cat says, does that mean I can't buy beer at the moment? And the woman says, look at the sign, are you illiterate or something? And the cat says, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm a cat. Cats can't read. Look, barely able to speak, as it happens. Most people are usually impressed by my ability to speak, but not you, no. You're here judging me. And the minute I get in here as a potential customer, you're just judging me. I can tell you, you might have a different attitude if you were a senior management and one of the directors and major shareholders in this company. You might have a bit more respect for me because you know where your bread was buttered. And the cat, the woman says, you as a cat would know all about buttering bread, wouldn't you? Because if you buttered your front, you'd still land on your feet, and then you'd, oh wait, am I mixing two different things there? I probably am. And the cat says, I just licked the butter off. What are you talking about? And the woman says, I don't know, I'm not sure this is a particularly good basis for an ongoing story. And the cat says, well, I'm very sorry that my day-to-day shopping isn't interesting enough for you or for whoever you're trying to entertain there, but there's more to life than entertaining people. And the woman says, I couldn't agree more, that's why I retired from the circus and came to work here, providing a serious customer service rather than an entertainment service. There's more to life than being entertained, just as your man in the Colosseum in that movie, he goes, are you not entertained? And the crowd goes, yes, we're not entertained, when do we get to be entertained? And then he gets pissed off and gives them the thumbs down, and then he goes off and tells somebody to beat up one of the gladiators or something. I don't know, didn't follow the whole plot. And the cat says, where are we going with this? And the woman says, where we're going with this is that you need to fill up at least 7 minutes of time walking around the supermarket until such time as the security guard notices that it's nearly 10:40 and that he should have opened that barricade a few minutes ago. or 2 minutes from now, but that's happening in the future, so he'll be a few minutes late then. And the cat says, yeah, okay, thank you very much for your quotation marks help. But the woman doesn't notice his sarcasm because she doesn't know he's trying to do quotation marks. He just holds up his two front paws, and Snog doesn't have quite the same effect as holding up two fingers of each hand. So she doesn't even notice. She just goes, oh, isn't that cute, getting up on your hind legs? Don't scratch the counter, you bitch. And the cat says, you only call a female dog a bitch. I'm a male cat. And the woman says, well, I have to sex you now before I can have a basic retort to whatever it is you're doing. And the cat says, well, you're supposed to know your customer. Is this not all on my loyalty card chip? Would that not be on it? And the woman says, it probably is, but you haven't scanned that yet. And I wouldn't have access to that information. I just have access to your club card accounts. I presume there's people higher up, whoever works in the veterinary section here, I presume, can see the rest of that information. I don't know. Couldn't care less, to be perfectly honest. And the cat says, well, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed for your help. You've been a fantastic help here at customer service. I'll go off and serve myself now. You can be damn sure the Christ as hell that I'll be using the self-service checkout. Let's hope when I climb up on the goods area, it doesn't say unidentified object in loading area. I say I don't know what I'll do. Maybe jump down off it, but then I won't be able to reach the controls. And the woman says, we can help you with that, sir. We have a service checkout. We have a person sitting at a checkout, like in the old days. Well, they'll put the goods through for you. And the cat says, oh, that's great. I never thought of that. Thank you very much. I'm being sarcastic, incidentally. And the woman says, that's fine. That's fine. I'm used to that. And the cat says, I can see why now. And the woman says, can you indeed? You can see why. You can see the words forming in your head, I suppose, because you've been watching Sesame Street. They've been working, you see W forming in the shape of a sausage, and then a big H. Is it an uppercase H? I hope not, because it shouldn't be if it's in the middle of the word Y, unless it's all uppercase, in which case that's rather aggressive. And you can see the Y. Which type of Y is it? Is it the one that looks like a fork, or is it the lopsided one with the tail? It's probably that one, because you did say that they taught you, oh, there's a cat. We'll give him the image of a tail, because he can picture that, which is bullshit. No animal even knows what the fuck its tail is. All it knows is there's this thing on its back that needs to be licked every now and then, and seems to serve some purpose. I don't know what's called a tail. Although, it might be different from you, because you can talk. You apparently watched Sesame Street and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, thank you very much for your inquiry, and a great night is had by all. It's time to deal with some outstanding listener correspondence. I was working through a while back a list of topic requests from Jerry in Southern California. I did the one about the windmills. I think they did the one about drinking beer out of a bucket in St. Louis. The next one, it says, a giraffe can clean its ears with a 21-inch tongue. Now, that appears to be a statement, which presumably Jerry has verified. Christ knows how. Christ only knows how. Although, I suppose, just by watching a giraffe do it, I suppose. Where would you go to watch giraffes in Southern California? Probably have to go to a zoological gardens. Most people nowadays, they're very snobby about zoos. They say, I'm not going there. If you're going to go to a zoo, you might as well be one of these people who has to go and visit your family in prison, because they're all scum. And you're going, no, you have, it's like, if you're the only time you should be going to a zoo is if one of your cats got arrested and is on trial there, awaiting trial, and it's innocent, of course, but they keep it locked up awaiting trial. Oh, they wouldn't do that in the zoo, would they? They'd put it somewhere else. They'd put it in some sort of sanctuary. Although some would argue that a zoo is a sanctuary. Others would argue that it's a godforsaken hellhole. But the people who argue that are animals. Do they even believe in God? No, they're just, for convenience sake, pretending to, when it suits their argument, they say it's God, there is a God, and that he's forsaken this place. send us somewhere the God hasn't forsaken, or where he's done the what's the opposite of gore? Can you do the opposite of forsaking, please? Can it be the opposite of God forsaken? What would that be? God supported? I don't know. I'd rather just have a happy medium, a place that's not forsaken, doesn't need to be actively non-forsaken. It can just be a neutral ground, neutral territory that hasn't attracted any attention, either positive or negative. That would be fine with me. You don't need to be going to some big, I don't know, maybe you have a place up on the hill over Rio de Janeiro, you know, that place that's always in the photos of nice places on earth. You have a big photo of this mountain in the middle of Rio de Janeiro, and it's got a statue of God on top of it, and half the time it's surrounded by fog, so it looks like a God flying or standing in the air, at least over the city, on the thin air. So it looks like it's a magical statue that's flying, which where I come from is called a kite. You can do that with a kite, as long as it's well designed. You can't just have a bit of square cloth and say, oh, look at this, it's Jesus flying over the clouds. No, you have to do better than that. It might be better with a balloon of some sort, but that would be hard to control. If you have the kite, I don't know, I have not much experience in this area, especially not in South America, where the winds and things may well be different. And that's on a, if I remember rightly, Rio de Janeiro is beside the sea, but it also has a mountain there. That would play havoc with the winds. You never know where the air is going from one minute to the left to the next. That was my right earphone falling off. We'll deal with that with some sellotape in due course. But for now, we just do this. I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about, me? I don't know. I can't tell you till I go back and listen to you. Well, why weren't you paying attention? Because I'm you. I was distracted. I was distracting myself by being me and saying stuff. Well, ideally, you should listen to what you're saying and keep up with the monologue and know where you're going next. I suppose I could do that, but that would change into your head into something entirely different from what it's always been. The whole idea has been that's like it's like taking your pencil for a walk, except there's not a pencil, it's a mind. You're taking your mind for a walk around the garden, and at the end some kid is going to come along with markers and colour in the bits in the middle, and then you send it off to some competition. And you win a beer, and then they call the parents home to get you because it's time to go home from school, and one of them comes out carrying a beer, and the parent says, Christ, how am I supposed to carry this? I don't have a car. And then they have to put the bear on their head or something. They go walking home with a bear on their head. Is that what you want from this podcast? Well, you can have it, I suppose, in your imagination. Outside of that, no. I suppose once you can satisfy yourself, if you're satisfied with just having the bear thing as an imaginary story in your mind, then that's fine. Think whatever you want. But apart from that, no. Haven't a fucking clue where I was going with this. But I do see I've recorded another 5 minutes. I don't even remember starting this new segment. I thought it was still at the bit where I just managed to get through the welcoming thing. But no, apparently I started a new segment 5.5 minutes ago. Don't remember what it was about. Haven't a fucking clue. So it'll be a nice surprise now when I take a break and go back and listen to it. I'll probably stick the advertising interlude in after this too. Don't worry, won't be some ad for Burger King or anything. I'll probably be just some crap. Some crap that you stick in here in the hope that the podcast will pay for itself, which indeed it does usually does, thanks to listener support through my Amazon and other links, through the tip jar, through the other stuff which you will hear forthwith here, coming up, this is getting out of hand. I'll probably cut the last couple of minutes of this off. Well, I probably will.
Remember, we value the opinions of you, The humble and ignorant listener. Email studio@intoyourhead.com.
Can you see me from where you're sitting? You probably can't. That means you need glasses. And what better way to get them than through the Into Your Head website, delivered straight from the Into Your Head website to your door. Worldwide shipping, and the show makes a generous commission at no extra cost for you. Just go to intoyourhead.com, down the left, scroll on the prescription glasses, goggles for you ad, and browse for your prescription eyewear, your contact lenses, your glasses, your weird bifocals for freaks, and all the rest of it.
Matchstick Cats! Matchstick Cats! Matchstick Cats! Matchstick Cats and stuff!
Are you a cat? Or do you know somebody who might be? Then tell yourself about Matchstick Cats, Neil's webcomic at intoyourhead.com.
Matchstick Cats and stuff!
Hello, this is your deceased former junior announcer Glenn Acton, who, according to the show's mythology, was brutally murdered in cold blood by the host of this programme around about April of last year, but I still pop my head in sometimes. Main reason I was discontinued is because the host realised he has absolutely no ability to do voices whatsoever, although I would argue that you don't need to be able to do voices. As long as you can speak, you're doing a voice. It doesn't have to be any different. It's perfectly reasonable for two people to have the same voice, although I suppose if they're on the same show, it would be helpful if you could distinguish between the two. But I find you can achieve that by starting every sentence with, "Hello, I'm Glenn Acton. I'm your Acton. I'm your deceased former junior announcer," etc., etc., and explain the backstory every now and then. Then any new listeners would be no more confused than they would otherwise have been. Anyway, no, Glenn, I don't really have a role in the programme anymore. People do ask occasionally after me sometimes. In fact, I still have a Facebook account. I don't really get much use out of it nowadays. It probably should be turned into a memorial account, but I think you have to send in a death certificate and stuff for that, and being a fictional character, that could prove difficult. Is that what they say? Nigh on impossible. Nigh on, it's one time in modern world that we use old fashioned language, we say nigh on impossible. The time is nigh. That's a load of bollocks if you ask me. We don't even speak like that in the afterlife, I can confirm. No, we don't start saying nigh, verily nigh. No. We say whatever the language of the time is, we use that. We adopt and evolve. We evolve and adopt. Half of us don't even use punctuation anymore. There's no need for it. Why would you need punctuation in a world where you're dead? There's a question for you. People are alive. They think, oh, punctuation this, punctuation that. I can't understand what you're saying because you left out a dot. Bollocks to that. Okay, if this life is too short, I can tell you as a dead, murdered former junior announcer for this programme whose life was cut tragically short last year, I can tell you life is too short to worry about punctuation. Try to get it right, but if you get it wrong, don't go around worrying about it, especially not about other people's. Now I can have to admit that the host of this show and myself never saw eye to eye on this matter, and it's possible that that contributed to my demise. So I suppose I shouldn't be saying don't worry about punctuation, because it could end in your untimely death. But we have to stand up for ourselves, surely, for these things. If you care, if you are of the belief that punctuation is unimportant, then you should stand up for this belief, even if it means you getting killed. Have a bit of belief in what you believe in. Otherwise, you don't believe in it, and you're just 3.5 minutes of filler in the middle of an extended episode. Let this be an example of that to you. I think I've illustrated that perfectly well here. Anyway, Glenn Acton here. Until next time.
Follow Neil at twitter.com/intoyourheadpod and pretend to like him at facebook.com /IntoYourHeadPodcast.
Monkey nuts, that's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-boiling, caffeine-free diet coke drinking for no apparent reason when you've just had you just had half a litre of energy drink. Is that what purpose does this serve? I suppose to prevent me dehydrating and dropping dead. I suppose that's as good a reason as any if you need a reason. As it happens, I'm not even thirsty. I just did that out of habit. You reach for a bottle, as typical is the Irish genes. You reach for a bottle back in the old days, before even bottles were invented. We were just reaching out by impulse, reaching out for a bottle. And we thought, what the fuck am I reaching for? Some sort of container where in a magical future world, you can just buy these beverages in some sort of container that's sealed and open it whenever you want it, and you don't have to go gathering water out of a stream, taking the dead snails and fishes out of it, and figuring out what plants you have to grow to turn it into some sort of decaffeinated beverage with unnamed vegetable extracts in it. If you want to, of course, they have no way to do vegetable extracts, and you can't do extract of cabbage and a bit of a cocoa bean and make a nice beverage out of it. They had to put the whole cabbage in and the whole cocoa bean in if they were going to use it, because they didn't have the apparatus. And then they wonder why it didn't taste good. That's why it didn't taste good. Of course, even if whoever had invented Coca-Cola in those days had invented it, they wouldn't have given it. They kept the recipe secret, so still these people would have gone into their cities every now and then and had a little taste of this stuff and thought, oh, that tastes good. Apparently it's made from vegetables and cocoa. We can do that. We've got vegetables and cocoa. I wonder how much cabbage do you put in? Do you have to cook the... Here's a question for you. Is there people in the Coca-Cola factory cooking vegetables in a saucepan there, getting them ready? They got their cocoa and their bits of lettuce or whatever vegetable they use. I'm being a bit presumptuous when I say cabbage. It's probably some other vegetable. Of course, that would explain why the recipe's secret. It couldn't... If you go up to the young people and say, here's a cool new drink, Pepsi or whatever it is, but has got vegetable extracts in it, and they say, oh, that's great, what vegetables are they? And you say, oh, carrots and broccoli. They throw it back in your face. That's why you don't hand it to them first, because then they have a projectile. You just show it to them. Maybe that's why they always, when you see them on those Pepsi ads and they're out in the street somewhere and they're saying, would you like to try this unnamed drink and tell me whether you think it's Coke or Pepsi? You notice they always give them a non-glass container, because they know I'm in danger here. As a young person, I'm forcing them to eat unnamed vegetable extracts. They could go nuts at any moment. They could take out a gun. That's, of course, something you can't plan for. Of course, you don't hand them a gun, but they could have a gun already. But at least you can prevent them having any extra projectiles or weapons by not handing them any. So you give them a plastic glass. In an ideal world, you just pour some of the... That's what they'll do next. They'll get so obsessed. These late night bars now, with the new rules, they'll probably have come in saying, oh, you can't have any containers at all, unless completely necessary. If someone orders a shot of something, they have to hold out their two hands and you'll pour it into their hands and they can drink it out of their hands. If they want, they can have a bit of tin foil to cover their hands or something impermeable to contain it within there or something. No unnecessary containers. In fact, they won't even have bottles behind the bar. They'll start keeping everything in, I don't know, whatever else there is. What else is there? Well, it'll have to be contained in something, I suppose. It'll have to be contained in something. Maybe a cloud. Maybe they'll figure out for each of the hard liqueurs, they'll figure out how to make it stay as a cloud hovering over the back of the bar. And you can just dip a glass into the cloud and take it. That'll be the ideal solution. So doing all that with computing now, everything's going up into the cloud. Those aren't even real clouds, but no, I'm sure the chemists know how to make clouds out of all of these things. It's just a question of having the right amount of everything in everything without it messing up the recipe. Of course, the kids will love this. They'll say, oh, give us a glass of cloud and a Guinness chaser, or whatever the young people are having. Of course, they'll have to be orange flavored flavor cow to the old day. Oh, no, you have to have everything has to have childish flavoring in it now. They say, is that a plain cloud? I don't want a plain cloud. Might as well be drinking rainwater with alcohol in it if I'm going to do that. And then, of course, some kid will figure out how to make their own natural occurring clouds out over their back gardens with alcohol in them, and they'll start drinking. Then that'll be the next thing. We'll have drunken kids running. Every time there's a bit of a fog now, the streets will just be full of drunken kids and louts running around in the street, causing havoc, and all because you wanted to ban any unnecessary glass projectiles. For Christ's sake, get a fucking grip, people. Get a fucking grip. This world is getting out of hand. We're all turning into lunatics. You can't go for 5 minutes now without worrying about some crap that's going to happen. It's getting fucking ridiculous. Our imaginations are running away. I blame Breaking Bad. I'm on my second run at the early episodes of Breaking Bad. Now, your man's going round with guns and shooting people and, they're all taking drugs. They're taking drugs, which apparently you can make out of chemicals now. They're not real drugs. In my day, drugs were something that you grew surreptitiously somewhere, like in South America. And you got some gang to bring them in and you bought them off some fella off a street corner. Now you make them in a caravan with a pipette and a burette. I was in a chemistry lab when I was a kid. There was a chemistry lab in our school. They had all that equipment there. We weren't making any frigging drugs, I can tell you. As far as I knew, anyway, we were told. Or maybe we were, because they were always telling us not to handle anything. Don't drink that or sniff that or do anything with that. And you'd say, why not? And they'd say, because it's monosodium meltophorase. And you'd say, what does that do? And they'll say, what do you mean, what does that do? You should know what it does if you've been paying attention at all. And you'll say, but I haven't been paying attention at all. I have no interest in this crap. Why would I pay attention to crap? And they'll say, this isn't crap. This is chemistry. Without chemistry, you wouldn't exist at all. There'd be no you here. You'd be floating away in space somewhere, like your man at the end of that movie. What's that movie with Hal and the other fella? 2001, A Space Odyssey. Except at least he exists. If there wasn't chemistry, that would be you, except you'd never have been born. If you had somehow managed to be born, you'd just be floating around in space like him. Probably wouldn't even be anywhere for you to float. I don't know if I can tell you. Be damn sure to Christ as hell. These chemistry teachers are very emotional sometimes. I don't know. I never came across a chemistry teacher who was also a religion teacher. We had a religion teacher who was also a he was a something else teacher. They all teach. They used to double up. They'd say, I'm an expert in maths, but I'm also an expert in civics. Civics being the study of compulsory classes where you have to learn how to not drop litter. They'd say, there's a form here says we have to give a civics class. So they'd say, fine, this will be the civics class. We'll just tell your parents we're doing civics and we're going to teach you an extra English class instead, though. Somehow we'll lawyer our way through your education, and then you'll all be wondering how you came out the way you are. Did we have glass projectiles in school? I'm trying to remember now. I'm pretty sure we had cans. We had drinks cans with sharp edges on them. They didn't really have those little beverage plastic bottles yet then. They had Mars bars. You could throw them around quite a bit. Although, why would you want to? I'd rather eat them. I was too busy eating Mars bars in those days to be throwing them at anyone, and I wasn't really the aggressive type. If anything, I would have had Mars bars thrown at me. Of course, you can't pick it up and eat it then, but you'd like to, because people will say, look, a fatty there is eating his Mars bar. No, you can't do that. Of course, if it was a bullet and they shot it at you and missed and you picked up the smoking bullet and ate it, then, of course, that would be considered cool, even though it's not even a bit of nice taste in it. It's considered cool to eat something like that. We're a fucked up world, I can tell you. A fucked up world. It's a small world and a fucked up one. And as I say, as they say, it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to have to clean it, because that would involve having to work with NASA and coming up with some sort of a, I don't know, something to do with chemicals. You'd probably have to, would you have to spray chemicals into the atmosphere or something? And then you'd have the tin foil brigade down on top of you like a ton of bricks, saying you can't be interfering with the climate and pumping out these suspicious clouds, these suspicious so-called things that supposedly are left by a jet every morning over the cities. And people say that's not from a jet. Jets don't pump out gases and steams. That's suspicious. What are they called? I never remember the names for things. I just call them stuff. There's not really things anyway. Smoke that comes out of gases that come out of planes, they're not things, they're stuff. So now at least narrow it down to that much. I've narrowed it, although I can't remember the name for it. It's not, I can tell you, it's definitely not things, it's stuff. So there we go. Anyway, good morning.
You've been listening to Neil tell you stories about cats, probably. Neil talks a lot about cats. Send your topic suggestions to studio@interyourhead.com.